Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago with no live studio audience, but it's okay. We have an exciting podcast awaiting for you, a very profound life lesson from the Torah portion of the week. But first, would like to say that we've been having amazing Shabbosim here at Project 613. Last week, we got a huge Shabbaton. And this past week, we had just having amazing, amazing Jewish young professionals doing the full Shabbos. The full Shabbos. Now, this past week, this was like the latest Shabbos of the year. We're talking, you know, late June. Okay, and these people are just incredible. I'm so inspired by them, and that's first. Okay, and shout out to Avi Miller, Hannah Katz, and Drew Ruckham. All right, you guys got your shout out. Amazing, so proud of all of you. Okay, now next is the topic today. Maybe we'll dovetail it a little bit. My son Tzviki's baseball team made it to the finals. Now, it's not just like a division. It's like a whole regional finals. It's like serious stuff. And, you know, the team started 2-3 on the year. They have won two championships, their core group of guys in the past. It's a very talented, good team, and it's really their great, great midos, as we say, great character. They play well. They play honest and good and hard, and they're very resilient. And we started the year with 2 wins and 3 losses, and I'm like, uh-oh. But every time I've counted this team out, they've come back unbelievable. They've won every single game of the rest of the games of the regular season, and then into the playoffs, won 3 playoff games, and then finally made it to the finals here and lost to a team that is absolutely unbelievable. Give it out to the Bell Park, I don't even know, Blue, Royal, whatever they are. Anyway, unbelievable team. They really hit the ball well, fielded, everything pitched, and we were in it. We were in it. Ended up losing 9-6, but I'm very proud of these guys, and maybe how, you know, we viewed this team will maybe mention a little bit later on in relation to the podcast. Nevertheless, we're super proud of Tzviki, our son, and all the boys who really had an incredible, incredible season. Okay, so here we go without any further ado. That the Jewish people live the Torah portion of the week. We live the Torah portion of the week. And there's an absolutely unbelievable Torah portion this past week. Parsha Shlach, which means send. Send in scouts. Send in spies to the land of Israel. So now let me just frame where we are. We've left Egypt about a year later. We've had some bumps in the road. Had that whole, you know, golden calf thing right after the giving of the Ten Commandments, the Torah, at Mount Sinai. And we've had other sins throughout the desert. And now we've survived all of them, but we're ready. We're poised to go into the land of Israel. We're poised to go into the land of Israel, and it's going to be awesome and amazing. And the Jewish people request that we see it first. Now, that might not seem unreasonable. Why, Rabbi, what's the problem? You know, let's see the goods. Well, here's what the problem is. The problem is that God, that Hashem, had told Moshe, and Moshe had also said to the Jewish people, that, hey, this is a good land. It's an Eretz Tova. It's a good land. And so if the Almighty said it's a good land, and the Almighty told Moshe to tell the people that it's a good land, why do the people need to do an investigatory research? What's the R&D for? You have a guarantee from the CEO of the universe and his representative Moshe that it's in a good land. What else do you need to hear? Hashem says jump, you say how high? Now, parents out there, I know you are going to appreciate this following analogy. You spend a lot of money on a gift for one of your children, And you think to yourself, should I put a gift receipt in? Should I not put a gift receipt? And you're like, no, I'm not going to put a gift receipt in. We know exactly what he wants or she wants or whatever it is. And it's going to be this very expensive gift. And it's amazing. And you give the gift over to the child. And before the child even opens up the gift, the child turns to the parents and he says, hey, just curious, is there a gift receipt? How do the parents feel? The parents like, what do you mean gift receipts? Like, yeah, well, in case I don't like it, can I? Yeah, the damage is already done. What do you mean you don't trust us? What's going on? And so therefore, the fact that the Jewish people even asked to be able to see the land of Israel and not trust the Almighty was like asking for a gift receipt. Maybe I don't like it. Maybe what you say is not good and true. Right? It's even worse, right? Parents sometimes do mess up gifts, right? But the land of Israel, the Almighty is not going to mess up on that one. So that was their first mistake. Their first mistake was not trusting in the Almighty and Moshe and them saying, when they said it was a good land, they didn't believe them and asked for these spies. Now these spies, scouts, were literally the heads of the tribes. These were holy men. And there's a lot written about how they literally fell off the bus over here. They fell off the track. They come back with a negative report. 10 out of the 12 spies come back with a negative report. And not only a negative, slightly negative report, they come back and they destroy the land of Israel. They speak Lashon Hara and even Hotzas Shemra. Lashon Hara is evil speech that is true. Hotzas Shemra is slander. And they spoke slanderously about the land of Israel, which is totally unacceptable. By the way, to this day, it's very dangerous to complain about the land of Israel. Very dangerous. There might even be a prohibition itself to speak negatively about the land of Israel. But in the laws of Lashon Hara, you cannot speak necessarily negatively out of place unless there's a specific reason why you need to. Okay? But it's very, very, very not simple to complain or say things negative about the land of Israel, which is what I always tell my students on a Israel trip. You can't complain. The Torah says you can't. Okay. So here we go. So they come back and they've complained. But why? How could it be? How could it be these 10 great men who are the 10 tops of the tribes? How could they have come back with a negative report? And there are many, many, many answers. One, I'll give you a quick survey of them, and then we'll get to the one that I want to focus on for the podcast. Well, one is that they enjoyed the desert experience. The desert experience, everything, it was like, you know, a baby in its mother's womb, a fetus. Everything was being taken care of. We got food, we got drink, and we wanted to keep that closeness to the Almighty in this idyllic experience. Okay, of the desert when all of our needs are taken care of. But the Almighty says, no, I want you to leave the womb and I want you to earn. I want you to plow the soil and I want you to work the land and I want you to appreciate what Shabbos is after a day of a week of work. And so they were so in tune with wanting to stay in that high spiritual level, the ivory tower, as it were, of the desert, that they didn't want to go into the land. Another idea, which is not as complimentary, is that they were the leaders. And every leadership role is dependent upon the situation. And they knew that there was going to be a fundamental shift of leadership, and they were going to lose their job. They didn't want to lose their job, so they torpedoed the whole project. Okay, that was two. There's another one that's absolutely fascinating. Is as follows. Is that they saw clearly that the Jewish people were taken care of by the Almighty in Egypt. I mean, God destroyed Egypt. So why in the world would they be hesitant to go into the land of Israel? Because of these big guys, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, the Canaanites, the Nephilim, the giants, the son of giants. There are a lot of big guys in Israel, in the land Eretz Canaan and Canaan, at the time, before it became known as the land of Israel. So, but why were they afraid of them? Why were they afraid of them? All right? And why would they torpedo the project? And the final answer we'll give before the answer we want to talk about is as follows. Is that they believed, the Jewish people believed, that when it came to supernatural experiences with the 10 plagues and with the miraculous military victories they had in the desert, they had a cloud that absorbed all of the ammunition and arrows of their enemies. He says, oh, God is with us then. But when God lets us, he lets go of the seat and we are riding on our own, then we're really on our own. And that was a huge mistake, because we're not on our own when the Almighty lets us go and lives within the laws of nature. God is with us even then, especially then. And that was their mistake. They thought that the big guys were going to beat them up because God wasn't with them anymore. What they failed to understand is that God is not going to be with them in an openly miraculous way. But the Almighty for sure was going to be them in a hidden miraculous way through the laws of nature. And if anyone's followed the Gaza war last 250 something days, maybe even the 260 days, I'm not sure yet, you will see miracle upon miracle through quote unquote the laws of nature. The seas aren't splitting. Man is not falling from heaven, but the stories that are coming out are absolutely stupendous of the Almighty watching over the Jewish people and the Jewish soldiers. Okay, so and so that's a little bit of a survey of why the spies did not want to go in, how these great men could have sinned. I want to drill down on one of the verses that they said. They come back, they say it's awful, it's terrible, it's not going to be good. Actually, they initially say it's good, but then they start saying, but even though it's good, there's no way we're going to conquer it because these people are too strong, the local inhabitants. And then Caleb and Joshua step up and said, no, you guys are all wrong. We can do this. We got this. Don't lose faith. We got it. And then they double down and say, no, you guys are wrong. And here's what they said. Okay, the people in the land, right? It's a land that it devours its inhabitants. All the people that we saw in it were huge. Now, chapter 13, verse 33 of Bamidbar Numbers, it says, there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of the giant from among the field. These are big guys, okay? Giants. We were like grasshoppers in our eyes, so we were in their eyes. Okay, let's see that again. So we were like grasshoppers in our eyes, so we were in their eyes. Meaning what? The Jewish people at that point, these 10 great 10 people lost confidence in themselves. They thought that they were like little grasshoppers vis-a-vis these giants, because they felt that the Almighty was not with them. That was their mistake. When the Almighty is with us, we are not grasshoppers. It's just not true. But once we decided that we were grasshoppers, we projected that reality upon our enemies. And so we were in their eyes. This is a classic projection. We didn't believe in ourselves. And therefore, we assumed that that's what the other people were thinking. And it simply was not correct. Our lack of confidence, our lack of vision, our lack of purpose, our lack of believing in our mission, and the lack of our believing in our God-given potential, that is what led us fall. It led us give up, and it even led us to torpedo the initial mission of itself. And the Gemara in Sota has an unbelievable statement that I'd like to share with you along this very theme. And it's really what we'd like to call this is the grasshopper syndrome. This is the grasshopper syndrome. We were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and therefore we must be in their eyes. And so as I flip open the Talmud over here, page 34b in Maseches Sota, it says an unbelievable thing. Here we go. And it says, okay, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says that Devar Zeh Misaras B'yadeinu, we have a tradition in our hands. We have a sin from our fathers, our forefathers. That what? Meraglim, the spies, Al Shem Ma'aseim Nikru'u. The names of the Meraglim, they're called after their actions. The Torah itself indicates from their name what their sin was. But we only have the tradition of one of them. One of them. One of the 10 spies who sinned. His name is going to indicate the nature of his sin. And it says, Sasur ben Michael. That was one, the tribe of Asher. So what is Satur? Satur means Shesatar Ma'asov. Shelakodesh Baruch Hu, that he contradicted the actions of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. He didn't believe in Hashem. He did not, he did not believe the Kodesh Baruch Hu was going to take care of them. That was his, he contradicted the promise that the land of Israel was a great land. And what was his name? Sasor ben Michael. Michael Sha'asa Atzmo Mach. Oh, he made himself Mach. He made himself lowly. Rashi says, Chalash. Weak. He made himself weak. What does that mean? It means he didn't believe in himself. He thought he was a grasshopper. He had the grasshopper syndrome. He did not believe in himself. And that's where the Gemara is brought down. It says we only have one tradition about, of all the names, we only have one tradition. What do the commentators say? That's all you needed. that's all you needed. That's all you needed to know. We lost confidence in ourselves. And because we lost confidence in ourselves, we lost track of the fact that Hashem is with us. And that's the ultimate source of confidence. We're not necessarily confidence because we have big muscles that we are able to overpower them with military force. We probably were not. The only way that we were going to win is because the Almighty is with us. But we had every reason we should have believed that was the case, because he did it in Egypt, and albeit in open miracles, then he was going to do it here as well. Maybe not through open miracles as much as through hidden miracles, what we call Mother Nature. Yes, when everyone else says Mother Nature, we insert Hashem here, right? And sure, insert God's name here. And so this is such a powerful lesson and message. The grasshopper syndrome attacks every one of us to a certain degree. And certainly as a Jewish people, I believe that right now we have the grasshopper syndrome. We don't realize, we have to realize the entire world is spinning because of the Torah that we're learning and the mitzvahs that we're doing. We are the chosen people. We are the moral barometer of humanity, not only now, but always have been and always will be. And therefore, we have a tremendous responsibility. We can't give up on ourselves. We can't believe we're grasshoppers. Everyone is hating us now. Yes, that is true. But for a reason, because we're special. No one hates the Costa Ricans. No one has it out for the Australians or the Austrians or Germans or Argentinians or you fill in the blank. No one has a mass theory that the Guatemalans control all the banks. Right? And no one says that Canadians have controlled all of history. And no one says the Chinese monks or the Brahmins or the Buddhists or the Hindus have been the puppeteers of world history. No one is accused of any of that because it's laughable. It's laughable. It only makes sense. The claims can only make sense against the Jewish people because we are important and we have influenced every stage of human history for the last 3,800 years since Abraham, and in particular, 3,336 years since Mount Sinai. We are important. We are in the center stage of history. We are in the center stage of history. It's no accident the entire world is following every jot and tittle of this war and what happens in Israel. Because that's where the eye should be, because we're not grasshoppers. We are God's chosen people. And so many people responding to this anti-Semitism by putting their tail between the leg and, you know, and hiding or going to bed and pulling the covers over their head. It's not the response. The response, first of all, is to be safe. The response is, of course, to take due diligence for our safety. But to hold our head high, we are not grasshoppers. We are the purpose for which the Almighty created this world. And we have a moral mission. We have a moral standard. And we need to stand up for that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then go learn some more Torah. And if you don't know how to do that, I'm delighted to help you find the right resources and the right people to do it. So God bless. May you have an unbelievable week of confidence, of going out in the world and being proud that you're Jewish and not in any way cowering or being bashful or bowing down to other idols or other giants that we're intimidated by, because we are not grasshoppers. We are the chosen people. God bless. Have an amazing week. Look forward to seeing you again back right here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.